Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this beautiful time of worship. And now we come in your presence and ready to hear your word. We ask you to bless your messenger and bless every single heart here, that we may not be hearers only, but doers also, Lord. We ask you and pray you all and ask you all these in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When you go to a restaurant, you order your meal. If it's a steak, first they offer you some, you have the salad comes, you have coffee, juice, tea, whatever it is. But you're still waiting for the meal, right? This is the reason why you come to church this morning, to be fed. And this is the time where you should prepare yourself to eat. Amen. Several weeks ago, we went over some moment of self-examination. We started with the letters Jesus wrote to the churches. And we had one of them. Jesus said, "You have a name that you live, but actually you are dead." And then we said to ourselves, we did not want to be that church. We wouldn't want to be that individual, this type of Christian. We have the name, but we are dead. And Jesus said, "Wake up." He says, "Wake up." And then even being dead, he can revive us. That's where all started. And then we saw that Jesus, how he cared for the weak, for the dying. He cared for them, and he asked those who are still alive, please help the dying ones. And then we emphasized that by how Jesus went to Peter. He begged Peter. He said, "Please feed my sheep," 3 times. He said, "Feed my sheep. I am going and I'm leaving the sheep. I die for them. Feed my sheep." That was the key word. Jesus wants us to be saved. He came. He wouldn't want to die in vain. And then that led us to feeding the sheep. It's led us to who are qualified to feed the sheep. We went over, not anybody can go ahead and feed the sheep. There must be qualified shepherds. That's why we went, we are and still going over the government of the church, how it does. And we found there are two positions in the church of God. You have the elders and you have the deacons. That's all it is. That's simple. You have a plurality of elders who are there to feed the sheep. The elders are there to feed the sheep, to oversee. The elders are who we call the pastors, the overseers, the bishops. That's what it is. They are there to feed the sheep, take care of the sheep of God. And then the deacons are more into administrative stuff. So as we are going into these, it's not eldership. It's about feeding the sheep of God. That's what it is about. You wouldn't want your leaders, whether in the secular world, to be any type of person. You know, we all know what happened when they hear stuff about our leaders, how the news and everything, the country is troubled because they want they expect them to be righteous in a sense. Do you want anything less for the church of God? God wants the leaders to be the models for the sheep. That's what they must look like. So if the leaders are not what a Christian should be like, then you're not going to, as elders, as sheep. That's what it's going to be. So that's what we are studying about. We went over some of the qualifications and some of the quality that Christian must have. But the deeper I go into it, the more I understand what Paul was saying when he said, who is sufficient to these things? Who is? In 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 17, that's when Paul said this word, though he thanked God who caused us to triumph in Christ, and God maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, the leaders, in them that are saved and in them that are perished. And in verse 16 he says, to the one which are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And he said, and who is sufficient to these things? Who is? But all he knew is that with sincerity, he just speak the word of Christ. That's all we are doing. Like, we're not sufficient. The elders, the leaders are not sufficient to these things. But at least with sincerity, speak the word of God. Speak the word of Christ with sincerity. More I stay in it, less qualify I see me. More I stay in the qualifications and studying the subject, less qualify I see me. And anyone who aspire to leadership in the church or who are in leadership, if those qualifications don't cause you to pause and think, I would suggest you should run away from leadership. If after you read those things and you spend time on them, you don't feel anything, you feel, all right, that's normal. I don't see anything new. I think you should consider stop running or stop seeking leadership position in church. But if you do feel they cause you to pause and think, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Because that means you will take it seriously and you will be a model, because Christ will be in you to help you through. We have to serve the Lord with trembling and fear, and it's an everyday thing. You know, before the kids go to college, they have this test they take, SAT. How long this result lasts? If you have a score, is it last for a few years, or do you have to take it every 6 months? It lasts a long time. 10 years after, your score is there. But what about your cholesterol test? When you take it, 10 years after you go to the doctor, you present it, is that acceptable? That's what happened. In leadership, in feeding the church of God, it's a cholesterol test. That's what it is. You cannot take your old test from old past days and to say, that's my test. That's my score. It's an everyday thing. We have to check. You have to keep on checking. So this is what Paul says in 1 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, no filthy looker, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? May God bless this portion of the scripture of his words unto our edification this morning. And this morning we are into one who rules well his house. To rule means to set or place before, to set over, to be over, to superintend, preside over, to be a protector or guardian, to give aid, to care for, to give attention to profess honest occupation. Basically, it's you have to preside over your household. You have to exercise authority over your house. Basically, you have to manage your house. It doesn't stop to say preside, rule, manage, but it says you have to do it well. It's one thing to do it, but how you do it counts. And the well means you have to do it rightly, so that there shall be no room for blame. Truly, excellently, nobly, commendably, honorably, you have to do it in honor. And you have to rule your own house. You don't rule somebody else's house. And saying house, it's not just your wife, your children. Whether it's your dog, your cat, or anybody in your house, everybody must be ruled, everything. We have this saying that says, if you live in a priest's house, you are a priest. If you live in a pastor's house, you are a pastor. And this qualification must be manifested in your life. And I have so many examples. I don't have time to go through them. But if you step into a pastor's house, an elder's house, you have to behave and know that you are in somebody's house. And if that doesn't happen, the house is not well ruled. And I would use this opportunity to say, families, people in church expect the church to rule their house. It doesn't work this way. You rule your own house. Having his children in subjection. This is a hard one, but this is our responsibilities. You know, we have the kids. We decide to have them. We make them. We just, maybe you plan it, it's an accident or whatever, but we make them. But you know, unfortunately you make them, but their attitude and their whatever, you don't make that. So what you wish for them to come, it doesn't come all the time. And you just know what they should look like. But unfortunately, it doesn't always happen this way. The proverb in Creole is like, it's like the dogs. I remember we had two dogs in our house. We took them from their mom the same day we took them and we raised them, and one of them came out to be a thief. This dog will eat anything you have in the house. You have a live chicken, he got it. A dead chicken, he got it. Everything you have is killing them. And the other one, if you need somebody to watch the meat for you or whatever, this dog will do it for you. And it will not let anybody or any other dog come. You're just there and watch it for you. And they are brothers and sisters, same birthday. And that's the way. So you may have different children. One comes out good. The other one, you wonder, where is that come from? So unfortunately, you don't have that. But you know what? It's still on you. It's still on you. Our kids can shame us. they can honor us. Oh, it's great glory when your kid succeeds and you want everybody to know it. You want everybody to know that's my child. Isn't it the same thing when they shame you also? They are still your child. This you cannot deny. And this is the hard thing to say, but they are your product. You just cannot deny it. I don't know if you heard the mother earlier this week apologizing to all the victims of the shipyard bombing. This is hard. You have to apologize for what your kids did and which you just... But they are our product. Ford cannot come with a car and then after even 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever, they have malfunctioned from the manufacturer. They have to call them back, right? It's your product. Take glory, take shame. So that's how important it is to rule your house. Because the charge will be on you. At least you would know that you did your best. And then you would have a clear conscience. And every time I touch on that, I remember our Creator God. Don't you think God is a great dad? He's a great dad. He is still. But when you look at Adam and Eve, do you think he is proud of the outcome that brings us here where we are now? But God did his best, right? So sometimes it's out of our control. But we still have either the credit or the blame. He said, with all gravity. With all gravity. What does that mean? It means natural respect. You cannot take a gun and ask your house to submit under your rules. It doesn't work this way. It's not by yelling. It's not by force. You say, hey, I am your dad. You go into this or that. I mean, however you do it, that's not the way it works. It must come naturally. Naturally. It must come. If you feel like you have to take, a stone or breaking stuff or whatever, come back and think. That's not the way. It has to be with all gravity. When I read that, I thought about Napoleon Bonaparte, who said one thing very important. He said Alexander and himself, they built empires, but they use force to build it and to keep it. But their empires are no longer. All the force just come and destroy, and now we have what we have. But he said Jesus Christ came and built his empire on love, and still today, millions of men are willing to die for him. Isn't that powerful? So that's the way you have to find a way to rule with all gravity for the respect to come. And even yourself, you cannot explain it because it comes. I have a live example. We were in Haiti in our neighborhood. We had all the politicians around us. And we have a few congressmen, neighbor, but we share food, we share meals. We really live well together. But I can be in my house or anybody in the neighborhood. This one fellow's name was Vital. You can hear his wife, people in his house, his sister-in-laws, anybody, Vital, Vital, oui, Where are you? You know, that's the way they call him. They don't even say senator or whatever. Vital! Hey, that's the man's house. But I didn't know if that bothered him until one day he came to me. He said, Pastor, I don't understand. People in your house, your children, your wife, they call you Pastor, your wife call you Sherry and everything, but everybody in my house call me Vital. I said, I don't know. I don't know. It started somewhere. You see what I mean? It started somewhere. And then when he was allergic with alcohol and anything he tasted alcohol, he's on fire, shooting guns and whatever. And his wife would come knock at the house to go calm him, because the minute I show up, he's calm. Just my presence and then peace. So when trouble is around, he called. It was a Pastor Elise. And Pastor Elise come and calm. Where is the problem? Something somewhere is wrong. If you don't have it with all gravity, keep checking, because it must come. Because he continued to say, if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Basically, he's saying you cannot rule your own house. You cannot take care of the church of God. Now, whether it's something you cause, your fault or whatever, whether it's just happened, you really did your best. What he's saying here, as a model, you just cannot rule the church of God. I don't know how much you follow what's going on in politics, but you know, the candidate mayor for New York, he was in Congress. You see how low he's getting? No, you know, his pastors stress him out, and I don't think he will win this race, even in politics. So. And I don't know if you see this video where he was mad because somebody told him, a Jew told him he should not be running for the position. And he was talking about, who are you to judge me? Only God to judge me. This was a nasty video. If you don't want people to judge you, then stay out from politics, right? Because the minute you run, they're going to call everything back to you. If you want respect, you don't want people to dig into your house, to dig into your life, to talk about stuff, then stay away from leadership. And before I prepare this message, I it's not the first time, but I confirm with my kids, and I let them know if they understand they have the power to have me stop preaching. I know it, and I want to make sure they know it. Because the day they would disgrace the house, the day I would stop preaching. That wouldn't make me not the man of God. That doesn't mean I cannot even preach. That doesn't mean I cannot be useful to the church. But I just cannot lead. That's all it is. I just cannot be that example. And the kids must know it. They must know it. So if we have this Creole proverb, si ou pa gen ke, ou pa jwe pou ke. It means if you don't have heart, you don't gamble. Because in gambling, you lose or you win, right? In football, you get hurt, you gaze glory in it, but you get hurt. Everything you do, so it's the same thing. You have to choose between your private life or leadership. In leadership, there is no private life. Because the church is to examine your life. The people are to examine your life because they vote for you. Nothing less in the church of God. Yes, your house will be examined. Your family will be examined. Your deepest things in your life will be examined. Everything will be examined. It's either you accept all that or you stay out. In Titus 1, 5, 6, this is the same qualification. Paul told Titus, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanton, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." Verse 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, etc. But this, I read this verse because in verse 6 where he says having faithful children, there is huge discussion about that because this word means believing children. Okay? This is to say, of course, we understand the keeping the children under obedience and rule them well, but my goodness, would that mean also they have to be Christian? This is where the argument is. I read both sides. I listened. It's really a tough one. Everybody come with some very good points. But as far as now, I will keep it as faithful children. But really, it's something we all need to dig into. The way I look at it, it's like you have two candidates for a post, for a position. You know, it's like I remember my first job after the Navy. We went into competition for it, and we ended up being five left for the job. But because I was in the military, that gave me a plus. So it's happening, is examining for position. You're going to see, you will have to go to this one who is more qualified. He has a little plus. They're all equal, but there will be one with a little plus. But I tend to lean more toward, regardless how godly you are, you just cannot save your children. That's where I lead. So that's why I believe, I am convinced as far as now, he means faithful children. But they must not be accused of riot. They must not be accused as unruly. They cannot. This you have power over. You cannot have them to believe in God, say you have to be a Christian, but you can control riotous life and unruly. Unfortunately, I don't know if you know that, but me growing up, to me, I thought once you are a pastor's kid, you're not good. And I even said I would never marry a pastor's daughter. That's the way I thought it. I thought that's the way, until I start to read the Bible and understand. It seems like once you say you are a pastor's kid, you're no good. And the pastors even tend to accept it as that, and then I say, well, kids will be kids. Children will be children. That's not true. The pastors, the deacons' children must be the models. I feel sorry for them because it's hard. But the reality is they have to be models. You know, even this joke talking about the deacon's kids are wild because they hang out with the pastor's kid. That's how bad it is out there. But don't accept it. Don't accept it. The pastor's kid must be accused of riot. Riot is dissipation. It's like the prodigal son. The Bible says, go and live a riotous life. The elder's kid cannot live this life in drunken and partying and all kind of stuff. Nope, unfortunately. If that's happened and you cannot have control over it, be a good man of God, but you cannot be an elder. Unruly means insubordination, unruly, disorderly, disregarding authority, disobedient, disrespectful. This word is used of horse and oxes who would not tolerate the yoke. You try to hold them, but they cannot tolerate it. They want to take it out. It is also used of soldiers who would not keep their rank. You can be godly father, but that doesn't guarantee godly children. And we find an example in 1 Samuel chapter 2. This is Eli, who was a priest. And we're not going to read it, but please read the whole chapter. The Bible says in verse 12, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial." And let me give you the translation. What does that mean? He says Eli's sons were wicked men. That's what it means. They were wicked men. They knew not the Lord, meaning they did not recognize the Lord's authority. Recognizing the Lord's authority must start at home. Verse 17, "Wherefore the sins of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." Verse 22, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all these people. Nay, my sons, for this is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress." Verse 28 to 30. And that's the Lord speaking. "And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offering made by fire of the children of Israel?" Verse 29. "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commended in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, the Lord saith, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." This is a sad portion of the scripture. We saw that Eli did say, "Oh, my sons, that's not good what I hear. It's not good." But obviously that wasn't enough. Because God said, "You honor your sons more than you do me." I don't think we can argue that we love our family, we love our kids. But at the same time, we need to balance whether we honor them more than we honor the Lord. Don't you think Abraham loved Isaac? He loved him. And he was taking him to be sacrificed. And I'm sure Isaac knew his dad loved him, but he also knew when it's come to choose between honoring God or honoring his sons, which one Abraham would choose. Our kids must know we love him. We have to show it, manifest it every day in every way. But they also must know when it's come to choose, you will choose God. Because if we don't, the Lord will lightly value us. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Lord continue, but you know the whole story. You can read it if you don't. But in verse 12, chapter 3, "And in that day I will perform against Eli all these things I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his son made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." His sons made themselves vile. I mean, it wasn't even Eli's fault. They make that. But God said he restrained them not. But we just read, Eli said, my sons, that's not good. It's like come to your son and say, "Hey, son, you know, what you're doing, it's just not right, okay? Do it better next time." That's not the way it works. Ephesians 6:4, talking to the fathers, Paul says, "Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Provoke not your children to wrath. Sometimes we do it bad and we cause them to be angry. And we can have a list of things to prove that, and we need to recognize that. Sometimes we make requests that are not right. You know, we ask them too much. Sometimes we show that we favor one instead of another. They see stuff. And sometimes we're wrong. We don't have enough courage to tell them we're wrong. Sometimes we cause them to say, "I cannot wait to leave." Sometimes we provoke them. And we need to recognize that. But he says, instead of provoking them, you have to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I think that's where most of the time we fail as parents. Sometimes we buy books, how to raise children. We go to counselors and we all kind of stuff in the world and the television and schools and everything, but we don't bring them up. It's like we throw them, somewhere and then we expect them to come out right. You bring them up. You have to have something in mind what you want them to be. You really do. You really need to have a picture in mind what you want them to be. You have them in your hands to do whatever. Not long ago, I was telling a brother, when you have a child, you can choose to make a giant, a spiritual giant out of this child. And you can also choose to make an evil out of him or her. You have this choice. You do. But he says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I guarantee you, in our church, in family, there isn't even family devotion time. Or if there is, compare it to how many times you take them to movie, you take them to other events, comparing to how much time you spend with them in the nurture and the admonition of the word. Our schedule sometimes is rough to have a steady day, but do you even have it at home? Do you even have it to say, okay, hey, you know, it's the time now, let's come, and they all know they're coming to be admonished, to be nurtured. If you don't have that, don't just expect them to come out, right? Because you go to other stuff more than that. And you expect them to be attached more to the word than that. You remember what God told Abraham? He said, I know you. I know him. I cannot hide anything from him because I know he will teach his children. I'm sorry I have to say in Creole again. I don't know how to say it in English. But there is that saying, to saying, chaque monde monte chualo, j'en connais. Can somebody translate for me? Somebody speaking in tongue? Chaque monde monte chualo, j'en connais. Albrecht is here? Oh, he's too young. This is old folks. It means that you do it as you know how to do it. I may do it one way, you do it the other way, but the result, that's what is important. You can ask me how I do it and I'll tell you. Then maybe I can be useful to you. So basically this saying says we our horse, we ride them the way we know. Somebody ride their horse facing forward. Somebody ride them facing backward. Somebody ride them like the ladies do, like the one, their 2 feet sideways. However, but the thing is, the horse must take you from one point to another. This is a tough subject to talk about because as parents, we all know we want our children to come out right. Do you have responsibility for that? Yes, you do. Will you do it right all the time? No, you will not. Can you be seeking for leadership position in church? No, you cannot. When do you do it? As early as possible. You're not going to wait when the child is 18, 19, 20 to change him or her. It's too late. I remember Esther was 2 years old, two or three. And we sent her out to her aunt, my wife's aunt, for 1 week. When Esther came back, she came back another child. It's like all those years I've been working on her, I had to start all over again. All over again. If grandma raised him, his uncle raised him, his whatever, that's not what you, they cannot raise what you want. I'll tell you, the earlier the better. Actually, to be honest with you, 1 to 6 years old, if you lose it, it might be hard to get it back. 1 to 6. This morning, actually, I tested something very important. I tested it, and I'll share with you. Mimi was crying hard. Everything, you know, you do, she doesn't want to comb her hair, but she wants to get ready to come to church quick. So I was in the bathroom, and I heard her crying, her mom and her fighting, whatever. I said, let me go ahead, test my ability. So I asked Mimi, what's wrong? She said she wants to sit down. But that's not really what the problem was. And I said, you know what? I don't want to hear you crying anymore. And I tuned and I was waiting. And that was the end of it. Isn't that beautiful? You think I can wait for 6, 7, 10, 8, 18 to do that? The rod cannot be spared. It has to be there. I don't care how old you are. This option still exists. But you know, if you do it right, you don't even have to use it. The boys will probably get, you will have to use it for the boys. But for the girls, I cannot remember when is the last time. I don't remember my fingers. I do remember my fingers because if you do it right, they will remember. Oh, it's such a great mistake when you're warning them. I told you once, I told you twice. Trust me, that's a big mistake. Big mistake. You call him, if it's the first time it's happened, because they have to do it once, you tell him, you talk to them, have them understand, and make sure they understand, make sure they are able to understand, because according to their age. And then the next time it happened, you call them again, you say, did you remember we had that talk? Yes, sir. Did you understand? Yes, sir. And then now you pay the consequences. Take the little finger, hand, take it. If you're doing it, make it hurt. Make it hurt and they will not forget it. Trust me. But if you wait too long, too late. Solomon advised us in Proverbs 19:18. Says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Chasten thy son while there is hope. There is a time where there is hope. There are times the kids don't know it. Sometimes they do. You have to do something, but you cry with them. But you have to do it. You love him. You don't want to hurt them, but sometimes you have to, and you have to cry too. But don't spare crying. Because the outcome will be your result. May God help you, parents, men. It's a great responsibility to better our church, to better our world. May God bless you.
Let us stand together. As the singers come, God Almighty, I thank you for this word that has gone forth today. I thank you for your love. Help those of us who are parents to be better at what we do. There are some here today who are not yet parents, but they will become parents. Help each of us in our prospective places of life to hear this message in a way that will that you can bless. And I thank you in Jesus' name. We've been challenged today, saints. Let's do better. Amen? We've been challenged today. Several places in Scripture, Pastor Lee said, study this. Let's take that challenge and study it. Amen? A lot weighs in the balance, not just the lives of our own children. A lot weighs in the balance. Amen? And we're going to sing it together right now, and then we'll dismiss.